happy Friday to you. Welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. I hope you're getting ready for a big weekend. My name is Dean Fulks, and I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint. And this past week, we looked at John chapter 10, where Jesus shares a metaphor with us. He says that he is the good shepherd. Three characters come out of the metaphor. Obviously, Jesus as the shepherd. Then he says there are robbers and thieves that come in to try and hurt the third part of the metaphor, which are the sheep. So there's the shepherd, the robbers, and the sheep. And I think for us, it's a struggle sometimes to think that we are sheepish. We don't want to believe that we are dull like sheep, that we're defenseless like sheep. Something in us wants to say we're kind of the valedictorian sheep, right? The magna cum laude lamb, if we could be called that way. But the scriptures are clear. Isaiah 53 says that all we like sheep have gone astray. And one of the things that we talked about is how some of us have kind of wandered what we called acceptably astray. In other words, for some of us, there are just acceptable levels of disobedience. Things like worry and hurry. Those are two of the things that we talked about, that those are just kind of acceptable levels of disobedience in our lives. And we talked about what if we thought about hurry and worry like we thought about adultery, for example, from John chapters 4 and 8. We talked about the woman caught in adultery and the woman at the well. What if we thought about those two things the same? Because when Jesus said in the text that he was the good shepherd, we talked about how in Jesus's day that did not compute. Shepherds were on a list of despised occupations that were listed in the Midrash. It was shepherds on the same list they had as gamblers and pigeon trainers was kind of an odd one, but that was a form of gambling in their culture. And shepherds were really at the bottom of the list. So when Jesus said he was the good shepherd, they didn't understand how could he be good. They actually says in John 10:6 that when Jesus used that figure of speech, they didn't understand what he was saying. How could a shepherd be good? And he's good because he lays his life down for the sheep. That when he had the opportunity to take a bribe and get the easy way out in Luke chapter 4 in the temptation of Jesus, he wouldn't take it. When he had the opportunity, the strength to come off of the cross, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't take it. And so the major two observations from the text that left with us were, number one, that the shepherd has a voice and the sheep have a choice. In the text, Jesus says that sheep know their shepherd's voice. And there's something in us that where we have to fight the temptation, we have to fight the opportunity to take the bait, because a lot of us run our lives by unsatisfied desire. We talked about how when people go on mission trips, they come home and they're perplexed by how we have so much and yet we're unsatisfied. And typically when you go to a mission to a third world country, you see people who don't have nearly what we have, but who seem to be infinitely more happy. And so one way to look at that is, well, we have to become more disciplined. We have to get rid of stuff. We have to follow more rules. But the reality we talked about, it's not that we need to deflate desire. Rather, we need to place more desire on something that just rises above everything else. Sheep tend to ruminate. They eat and they chew the cud over and over and over again. And one of the ways that you and I should fight temptation, and things like accountability are good and boundaries are good, all those things. But what we really need to do is we need to elevate our desire and place that firmly in Christ. The idea is you and I are going to follow what we love the most, which kind of led to our second observation, which is that you and I, we can either follow the shepherd or we can follow the herd. There's something in all of us that wants to do what everybody else does, and we get into what we've traditionally called things like a rat race. We try and keep up with the Joneses. We try and climb a ladder because that's what everyone else does. Young people struggle with this a lot in middle school, early high school, where they just do what everybody else does. But Jesus said he came to give us an abundant kind of life. And so what we've got to do is we've got to hear his voice and then respond to it. We've got to hear it over the voices of anger in our lives that demand that we get our way, or the voices of depression and hopelessness that tell us that nothing will ever change, the voices of unsatisfied desire that say we deserve better, the voices of guilt and shame that tell us that we're never good enough. Jesus, he has a better voice, and he has a higher calling, for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what's good. God's goal for us is not our comfort, but rather He wants to conform us to the image of Jesus, and that's just never a pain-free process or path. So just right now, as you're kind of rounding out your week, I just wonder if you would take a second and just maybe think and pray about what it is in your life that's functioning right now like a robber, that's a thief, that's stealing your joy, that's running you. Maybe it's hurry, maybe it's worry, maybe it's unsatisfied desires, maybe it's any number of things. But what's going on in your life is you're allowing something else to take your joy away because you don't have it, because you want more of it. You're chasing the bait that the robber, the thief, the enemy is providing for you, as opposed to being committed to God's plan of conforming you to the image of His Son. What would that be? Just pray about that right now. And God, as we round out our week, as we finish up, as we head into the weekend, God, our heart's desire is to be focused on You, to take some time to ruminate on the good things that You've done for us. To take John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, the idea that You came to give us this abundant life because You are a good shepherd. God, I pray that on the difficult days, You'll help us to trust that. You'll help us to believe that when we don't feel like believing it. In Your name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, have a great weekend, and we hope to see you Monday morning back on the LifePoint Drivecast.